Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm super excited this week to have a friend of the show, and of course, personal friend of mine, Charlie Wang, visiting us all the way from San Francisco. Thanks for coming, Charlie.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so first off, tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what you do on the Xamarin team here at Microsoft.
Sure. I'm a software engineer here at Microsoft on the Xamarin team, on the automation team. So I basically help people get their mobile apps tested. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of UI testing. We make sure everything that you've worked on works really well. And we just want to make sure everyone's happy.
So that's going to be our topic today is user interface automation.
Yep.
And you've been doing this for quite a few years now.
Yeah, almost 3 years. So wow. It's a long time.
So you came over, you're at Xamarin, just like me, before the Microsoft acquisition, everything like that. And you've been helping not only just independent developers, corporations be super successful testing their apps.
That's right.
Yeah. So what got you into testing? Like, why did you fall in love with I mean, because most developers were like, testing is the last thing that we want to do. Like, what is your passion around testing?
I just picked something up and I just started working on testing, and it's a lot of fun to see, especially because we have Xamarin Test Cloud. It's a lot mm-hmm. of fun to start writing your tests. And then you see it all automated, and it seems like magic. And yeah. then you push it to Test Cloud, and you have like just hundreds of devices, like side by side running. And then especially with the video recording, it's literally like, dude, I made that. That was me.
It's like that first. I remember when I first ever did anything with UI automation. Because we've been writing UI unit tests, like NUnit or XUnit, right? Which is testing the business logic of the application. Like, I wrote a function, it does this.
Right.
But that doesn't really correlate to mobile devices necessarily. I mean, it does. We should still write
You should tests. Still do that. Yeah. Don't not do that.
And I remember a long time ago, I used to work at a lot of different corporations, but we would do things where, you'd install the software on a PC and you'd say, all right, hit this pixel by this pixel, and then it should do this, and it should print out this piece of paper, and then it should do something. And it seemed like everyone hated doing it because it was like an archaic system, like no one wanted to write it. But when I started doing UI tests, when I first started working with you many moons ago, I remember it was just like that first console hello world, right? And you're like, whoa, like I wrote that thing and then like it did it.
Yeah,
like,
it literally is super easy, and it's like anyone can do it. You don't have to worry about like pixels, you don't have to worry about specifics, you just go, hey, this thing that I want to interact with, find it, do stuff with it, tap it, swipe it, flick it, whatever. And it's a very general, easy to read, easy to comprehend kind of testing.
So why is user interface testing so important, though? Like, why are we even talking about it and caring about it?
I mean, the biggest thing is for the mobile scene, there's a ton of different devices, mm-hmm. right? And so you have Android in particular with so much fragmentation. It's like it's kind of ridiculous. And your logic will work probably, right? You wrote unit tests for
sure.
It's good. But you have just these different screen resolutions, and you have just different screen sizes as well: 5-inch, 4-inch, 7-inch, all the phablets and everything. And it just might not render properly. Some things might be off the screen because you didn't account for it. You're just like, hey, build it for this API level, and you think that works, but it doesn't because it's a smaller screen, it's a bigger screen. And so you'll have images and buttons that are just like slightly off and slightly not very good, like off the screen. The keyboard, virtual keyboards cover up stuff as well.
Yeah.
So you can't interact with stuff. And then, your users get that weird feel to it. And you're like, this isn't as responsive as I would like it. So we try to fix that.
I ran into that recently in some banking application. I'm going to say which bank specifically. But I remember I'm trying to log in, and then the virtual keyboard pops on top of it, and like I can't see what I'm typing.
You don't even know what you're typing into. Yeah.
So, so that actually is involved in the UI testing. It's making sure that, listen, like if I want to enter a password, I should be able to actually see the element
exactly.
on the screen.
Right? Exactly.
So it's not just about like, did my UI react? Like, can I physically see it? Can I interact with it?
Right. As your user would feel.
Yeah. So would you say that we're going to be coding things and like emulating what our users are doing? Is that the goal?
That is exactly the goal. Like UI, Xamarin UI Test, Calabash, it's all about doing something a user can do. So anything anything a user couldn't do, don't expect to be able to do it. Anything a user can do, expect to be able to do it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cool. So we have some, you were telling me we're going to show today, and what you're going to show today is some of the free tooling that we have.
Right.
So any developer, any language, Mac or PC, you're on a Mac here, I'm on a PC here, so no matter where you're at, you just mentioned some keywords, UI testing, Calabash. What are those puppies?
Yeah, so Calabash is the first iteration that we came out with. It is in Ruby. Mm-hmm. We use BDD. It's business-driven development. It's very easy to read. It's open source. It's all free, but it is like maintained that by us.
Okay.
And then we have UI test, which is the C# version of it, and it works very well with Xamarin Studio and Visual Studio as well. They're both very nice.
So these are like both Ruby and C#, the Calabash and the UI. So they're scripting languages, right, essentially, right? That's what we're gonna do. So you're scripting just like an NUnit is like the asserts and things like that. That's maybe a series of commands that we can code and then it does stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That makes sense. Now, since it's in Ruby and Calabash, so like kind of if you have different teams working, they can work together and it doesn't have to be a Xamarin app, right?
Right, yeah, and so that's a really nice thing. It doesn't matter how you develop for it. It'll work on any app development cycle you're using.
Okay.
The only thing is with iOS, you do have to embed the Calabash server or Test Cloud Agent, whichever one you're using, into the iOS app first. But Android is pretty straightforward. You just say, "Hey, I want to start writing a test," and you start it up and it goes. So it's very nice.
Yeah. I like that. So then, does that mean that we have like a NuGet package or CocoaPods or something
right
like that?
Right. So for Calabash, you would use CocoaPods. I think that's like the most common way to do it. And then for iOS, if you're developing in Xamarin, it's just a NuGet package.
Perfect.
It's called Test Cloud Agent.
Super simple.
Solid. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So let's. What do you want? We want to show us today.
So I have a simple app that you made, actually.
I like that.
I have on my computer already, so we can just start with that.
Okay.
And we can start from the very beginning and just demo how really, really easy it is to just get started.
So I'm a developer. I'm maybe already have my app done, or I'm in the process of building an app, and I have an app.
Right.
Or maybe you're a tester and you don't even have the code. You don't even need the code, right?
I just have the app right now. I built it from source code, but I didn't actually need to do anything with it. Yeah.
Cool. Let's jump over to your Mac really quick and let's see where you're at. So we're here in this beautiful background.
And like I'm just going to start Xamarin Studio. And again, this works for Visual Studio as well.
Okay.
The only thing for Visual Studio is you need to install the NUnit Test Runner extension for your Visual Studio project or for that specific one. The project or the whole studio, whichever word.
And we have documentation that we'll put in the show notes.
Yeah.
So what are you doing here? This is our beautiful dark theme.
Oh yeah, the dark theme is so nice on the eyes.
Which you never see me demo because I'm a light theme
dark
guy.
Theme all
dark
the
theme.
Way.
People love it.
All right, so I started Xamarin Studio. I just clicked on this new solution.
Okay.
The one I'm demoing is an Android app. So under Android, I'm just going to click tests and then UI test. Again, you can do unit tests
so
if you wanted to.
So if you already had unit tests, you could kind of leverage maybe like what you're doing in the unit test and then react to that for the
right,
UI.
Right, exactly. And just cover all your bases, you know, like code testing as well as UI testing.
Perfect.
So just go next. I'm just going to call this example test.
Good name.
And leave everything else default, and we'll just create.
So in this instance, if you already had an app, like the actual Android app code, you would just add it as another project.
Right, so you can actually add it as another project in your existing solution as well.
Okay.
But I'm just working with a pre-built app, so I don't have the source code here.
Cool.
We'll just leave it like this.
All right.
And so actually, we create a bunch of stuff by default for you here. And you can see, you know, all the things you need up here for using. It's built off of NUnit for a little bit of the stuff.
Okay.
One of the key things to note is don't upgrade to anything past 2.6.4 for NUnit.
Sure. So we bring in, so under packages there, those are your NuGet packages. We have Xamarin UI test, and then Xamarin UI test will bring in the specific version of NUnit that it's built against. Perfect. So kind of whatever you have out of the box, you're good. And we're always revving.
We're always updating. So, you know, update when you want, when you can. Just don't update NUnit. That's all.
Yeah. Let UI test update to the version.
Yeah,
that's kind of like when I'm doing Xamarin Forms work. on Android, there's all these packages that are dependencies.
There's so much stuff.
Yeah, just let, like, hey, listen, this is the main package. It has all the dependencies. Let it do its magic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay, don't, cool. Don't worry about the all other right. stuff. Yeah.
So this looks very familiar to me. I have a test fixture, a setup, and test. Like, I've seen this before, right, where it's literally an end unit test. That's what mm-hmm. it looks like, but you have Android app, and I see before each test, app launches. So what's going on here?
Yeah, so the test fixture, the stuff in the square bracket, line 11, it's the test fixture mm-hmm. that says this is the test. This is what we're gonna use as like the thing to okay. to run. Setup is an attribute that you assign, and you only can have one, but it's run before every test. That's why it's called before each test.
Makes sense.
And then the test is actually just, you know, a test.
A test.
Yeah. So basically you just, you know, your tests are methods. You just write a test. Or you write your method and you get a test. There is a little bit of work here. This is app. So this is where we're going to define the app object, which is what we're working with. And if you open up this little to-do stuff, it says, hey, point me to the APK. So we'll do that right real quick. I'm just going to open up the terminal, and there's a nice little trick here.
Oh, so you have a APK.
Oh, the APK is on the desktop.
Okay, APK is on the desktop.
Oh, that's my little move thing. So we'll just copy, drag, and drop that, and then you get the direct path. So
okay.
It's pretty nice and easy. We'll comment this in, and we'll replace this.
So essentially, if you had the source code, you could kind of add it.
Right.
You wouldn't have to configure the package, right?
Right. So you can actually, if you had the source code, you can just like right click add app project. Right.
Oh, that's
here.
Easy.
Yeah. So this is the unit test window pane. You can kind of get to it from the view pads.
Okay.
And then if you have the source code, yeah, you just right click add app project.
Yeah. So let's zoom into that puppy really quick. There we go. So down here we have the example test, you have apps, and then you right clicked on the test apps, and you could add an iOS or an Android app, and then it would link to it.
It would link to it, so you don't have to even worry about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but maybe you're a tester, right? So you only have an APK file
right.
or an IPA file. You could point to it, or you're on a CI server, right? Like mm-hmm. essentially you would, in your CI build.
You would build the app first,
save
it somewhere, and then point to it from your project.
Makes sense.
Which is what I usually do.
Makes sense.
And then, so I have that pointed already, so we're good over there.
Okay.
And then let's just get it launching first. So here's a emulator. We'll just leave it on the side.
Okay, got a little Google emulator.
Let's see, I don't want to cover that up though, so I'm going to resize a little bit.
Oh, that's a nice little coding environment. I like that.
Yeah, and then we'll just build.
Also nice if you have multiple monitors, right? You can have your tests.
So much better with multiple
yeah.
monitors.
I was doing a podcast recently, and I was like, my ideal setup is three monitors, right? Just like perfect across the board. It's so nice because it's like you have multiple IDEs, you have your code, you have your tests, you have your emulators.
We all
don't get that. I don't even have that though.
I was talking to my dad, and he's like, why does everybody have so many monitors at your office? I'm like, because you need it.
You gotta collect them all, I swear.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So.
So I just double clicked over here in the unit tests
mm-hmm.
On the app launches, and you can see that app launches is corresponding over here.
Okay.
We got a little, let's try that again. Build, we'll clean first, build.
So you have to build, so we got it, we built it, and then the tests automatically show up inside of the test runner,
right.
essentially. Gotcha. And what it's attempting to do, I'm assuming, is?
It's actually looking for the APK, installing it on your device, and then running the test.
Okay, gotcha.
And so that's what this whole before each test stuff does.
Boom, there it is. So this is beautiful Evolve. We had a beautiful Evolve conference this year.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I liked it. And this is the app that
right. And so you
built.
Can see over here in test results, it was successful. And, you know, it was a very simple test. It was literally just launch the test and take a screenshot.
Take a screenshot. Is that screenshot saved somewhere locally?
You can enable the local screenshot over here.
Okay.
Enable local screenshots.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oop. That's the wrong button. Enable.
You can enable on your app.
So you can enable local screenshots, save it for yourself to use and look at later.
Super nifty. I'm thinking about this. If you're like need to go to the app store, you can just do that, right?
Yeah.
You can generate all the screenshots.
Yep.
That's a great
yep.
idea. Okay. Cool.
Good.
So this app.screenshot. So this is your first test, and this is nice because you can just validate that what your app launches.
Your
right?
app launches. Your app works. I get a screenshot. Yes, and you're like, good. First step done.
Minimal viable product of testing done. Didn't
yes.
have to do anything. Configured an app.
Yeah, it was super simple.
Okay. But what is this app thing? Like, you have app.
Right, so this app is referring to the app object. That's what you set up over here in configure app. So it's just saying, app is just saying this is your app.
Gotcha.
That's all.
Okay.
So that was a simple test. It doesn't really solve anything. It doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, we're on this sign-in screen, so a plethora of things could go wrong here. People could hit sign up, not now, sign in.
Right.
They could enter stuff.
But how do we interact with all this stuff? I don't know. Maybe we'll do REPL. So REPL, you know, read, express, print, loop. We'll just, we drop this in, and then it'll give us a console that we can work with.
So what tests are you going to build here then? What do we want to do?
I'm going to skip sign in because I don't have credentials. I don't remember the credentials. And then I'm going to go check out one of our previous events that we had at Evolve. And then sort of take a look at that.
Oh, okay.
It happened again. Just relaunch that.
Perfect. So app.REPL. So it's going to take a screenshot and then app.REPL read eval print loop, which shortens to REPL.
Right.
and REPL, if you'd used F-sharp, there's a C-sharp REPL. Essentially, from my understanding as a REPL, is that I write code and it executes.
Exactly. So you can just interact with it live. You don't have to pre-compile. You don't have to do anything beforehand.
So we have
So this is the
terminal.
REPL. Yeah.
Yep.
The REPL opens up in your terminal. It's got The nice thing about this REPL is it's got IntelliSense in it as well.
Oh,
so you can do app, you do dot, and everything you can do in your test, you can actually do right here.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
So, you know, if you're ever confused and you're like, what can I do? You just do this, and you're like, oh, I can do all this fun stuff.
So I can see that I can clear text, I can enter text, I can tap on stuff. How does it know what to tap, though, right? Because, I mean, you don't really want to. I remember when I was writing tests. Is it like, am I tapping a pixel? Am I tapping?
Right. So we bind by UI element. So the thing that you want to tap on is usually an object in code. So like the sign in button or not now button is probably a object in and of itself. And we can figure that out with app.query. So we just query for all the elements.
Okay.
And then there's a whole bunch of stuff. We give you more information than you'll probably ever need.
Sure.
You give the ID, the class, the rectangle, like where it is on the screen. And I just do not now. Oh, two words.
So you're just gonna search. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So we found it here, and it has a text, no ID. So we can just make sure that's the right one, and we'll do an app.flash. So this is, when I write tests, I really like to use flash just to make sure I'm gonna tap on the right thing before I actually issue the tap command.
Gotcha.
And
not now.
Not now. And you can see it's flashing.
It's flashing. That's cool. And then it brings it back in a query. Now it says ID is null, but if in code you would have set the ID of
content description or
just the ID of
Something, right.
Gotcha. And this is a Xamarin Forms app, and I think there's a special attribute or something like that you can set.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, you know, the app.query can be a lot of information for people. So we actually do have this thing called tree.
Ooh, cool.
You hit tree, and it gives you the same info, but in a lot more condensed, concise format. So
I like that.
It's easier to read. I recommend using tree.
Tree, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So let's actually interact with that not now button. Oops, app.tap.
Tap.
Not now. So we flashed it earlier, so we know it's going to hit that button. And it taps it. And so you can actually see it's tapping on the coordinates. It found the coordinates for you.
Okay.
So when we queried for it and decided to tap it, it'll look for that element, find the center of it, and hit it for you. So you never have to worry about pixels.
Gotcha.
Which is super helpful on Android when there's like thousands of different screen resolutions and thousands of different, you know.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We solve a lot of that issue for you. And we'll clear that. Let's do another tree. And I want to open up the side menu. And I think it's this image button. You labeled it okay. You wrote this, didn't you?
I did write that, yeah. that looks good.
Okay. Let's hit okay. So it flashed that hamburger icon.
Great name for a hamburger button, by the way.
So we'll tap okay. And it opened it.
It opened it, nice. And well, it's like you're not interacting with the emulator, right? These are the commands that you're just doing. And it just happens.
Yep.
Love it. Okay.
Let's check out a session. We'll do tree. And there's a lot here, so we'll just
Sessions,
yeah.
Yep.
So app dot. So this is a lot of tap stuff.
Checking out a session. Loads all the sessions up. Cool.
And there's a search field, so let's see. You presented at Evolve, right?
I did, yeah.
So we'll look for something here. Search. Search bar. Search edit frame. That's probably what we want.
Okay.
Copy this. App.tap. Yep. Okay.
It brings up a keyboard. So you tapped into the search field, and it's there. Cool.
And then, so you can do this.
Enter text. Okay.
So enter text is, there's a couple different overloads for enter text. There's, if you're already in the edit field, you can just type the text in, and it'll search it. It'll start typing right away. If you're not there yet, so let's just do this. Oops, what did I do? If you're here, I can just search for it first and then enter the text in. So we'll look for James.
Yeah, we'll see if there's a James in there.
So it'll tab it for you and then enter the text for you.
Gotcha.
And it doesn't look like you're here, man.
No James.
All right. What's going on?
That's no good. All right.
But we'll cancel that then. Let's see.
So this is good. So you actually entered something, and then you would be able to actually exit here. There's like the search close button.
Clear query, right?
Yeah.
Search close button. You're right.
Search close button. And that's nice because that's the ID. So literally, it's not a set of text. It's not a
right. And that IDs are super helpful if you're using multi-language apps. So you don't have to worry about like Russian or Spanish. It's just search.
If you're running in a translated thing, cool.
Yeah.
There we go. So maybe search for, I don't know, let's say Smith, right? Because Anya's here. Let's see how that goes. Smith.
There you go.
We get some results back. Cool.
And then there's a, let's dismiss this keyboard because this is getting annoying.
Gets out of there.
Yeah. And actually, there's some other stuff we can look at. It's just like scroll, which is nice. Let's scroll down. App.scrolldown. So again, this is just, I'm just demoing the fact that, you know,
you
all the
it.
Gestures, you can do all the gestures, so you can see it scrolls down,
and it actually moves it automatically.
Right.
So let's say that now you've got a test. I mean, seems like we've navigated to sessions, and then we search for James, no results, that's fine. we searched for Smith, but got some results back, and maybe this is some of our mock data that we could be using, so maybe that's why I'm not there.
So we have the tests, and everything we wrote is great. Let's use all that stuff. I could write all of that stuff in it, but
again,
we have another nice little nifty thing called copy.
I like that.
Can you guess what it does?
Does it happen to copy history to the clipboard?
You would be correct. good guess there. We'll just app.v, or not app.v, command V. That's just paste. It actually saves everything that has the app that you interacted with the app object.
Nice.
So you can see we do a couple of flashes and queries here, and we don't really need that, so let's just get rid of stuff.
Essentially, yeah, you're going through, we've done a few things, we're tapping, we're entering, we're doing some things like that. And yeah, so essentially all of our debug stuff that we were using, we're not using anymore, right?
Right.
That's the idea.
Yeah, exactly. We're just removing all the debug stuff.
No, so but am I actually testing stuff here? Like, am I actually testing?
Mm-hmm. So this is already a test. This is what you have here is it'll look for this object called not now, and then it'll try to tap on it. And if it's not there, it'll actually fail the test for you. So as it is, it's already a test.
Okay.
So you can actually get viable results just from doing this very simple run through.
Gotcha.
There's some extra stuff I would add to make it more resilient and a little bit cleaner, especially on Test Cloud.
Yeah.
But let's just run this for now.
Okay, and see how it works.
See how it works. Let's remove this. So we have.
And ideally, probably kind of after each step of the process, you would take a screenshot.
Exactly. So
you're like, I'm on the sessions
page. Yeah,
we can talk about it.
A little bit right now. So to make it a lot nicer, what I would do is use one of our wait for element. And we'll do not now.
So it's like, what's that?
So wait for element is a loop, and it'll check for the query that you passed it. And then when that query works, when it finds it, it'll continue with the test.
OK, gotcha.
And so if it fails at any point, so this is nice because it gives your test a little bit of time. Because the most important thing to remember is, as a user, you're used to like split second waits because you're a person, you're normal, right? But this is a computer, it's fast.
It's like go.
It's super, super fast. A lot of beginners, they get issues because they don't add these wait fors.
Gotcha.
And the test is acting in like It's nanos. It's
like, cool, like I've launched, I'm going to try to hit tap not now, I'm going to tap OK, I'm going to tap sessions, you know.
And the test will go bop, 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 but it's got to, you know, the app has to give a, has to load the screen for a little bit.
Exactly. And so that's important because if we test it on an old device from 4 years ago, it's not running on my fancy Nexus 6P,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and also, if you know, if you're pulling data from a server or something, that takes a little bit of time too.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then so we do a wait for, and then we do a tap, and then we do a screenshot. Oops. Blah. Screenshot.
Screenshot. Okay.
And then tapping on not now.
Perfect.
And so this is just what you would do before every action. You would wait for it, do the action, take a screenshot.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
You would do. Excuse me. You would do that for everything. But let's just run this test real quick.
Okay.
Make sure everything works.
I like that. So app launches. So now it's actually doing a little bit more than launching. But we get the point, right?
Yeah. I could rename it.
So you write, essentially each one of these tests would be, I want to test that I log in was like successful, not now is working.
Right.
This actually did some stuff. And boom, now it's totally like running the application, loading sessions. Oh, there's me.
Nope.
I like that. Boom.
Nice. I think, and it passed. So good.
Yeah, cool. Because it dismissed the keyboard and it attempted to scroll down.
It attempted to scroll down, but there was nothing to scroll down. Yeah.
So this would be a good point that you could maybe, like, if you have searched for Smith, that you want to maybe make sure that there's results back.
Right. And so, like, so the wait for element stuff would be a good use case right here, just because it can scroll down and it doesn't fail because there's nothing to fail, but you add a wait for like seven elements so that there's something to scroll. Like that's where you want to put a wait for.
Yeah. So if we search for Smith and dismiss the keyboard, now we maybe remove the scroll downs here, right? Is my thinking, because maybe in my mind I'm like, hey, I want to make sure that James doesn't have any results, but Smith has two results, or that at least Anya's stuff comes up. So can I you said it's based on NUnit. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Can
you
I
can
do,
do
like,
a
cert or something.
Yeah, you can totally
like
do a cert. What do you want to do?
I would maybe, like, for me, I'm thinking, like, are we able to assert like that an element exists on the screen and then like that other stuff shows up in here somehow?
Yeah. So you can do. I mean, app.waitfor does that, right?
Oh, okay. So that's kind of like an assert in itself.
Yeah, it is of itself an assert. So we can just do like wait for. No element. No element.
So essentially make sure that like that.
So nothing named James appears when that result, when the result's finished, we want to make sure nothing named James appears. Although this won't work because James itself is a.
So maybe you can make sure that Anya Smith doesn't
show
up.
I can open up I'd have to open up another REPL. We can do that though.
So in this instance, you're like, okay, I'm building my test and you probably want to make sure that there's no elements in the list view or something like that, right?
So let's do this real quick again.
So this is nice. So you can insert REPL
wherever you need it. Yeah.
Okay. And then does it just like stop there?
It does. It pauses it and opens it a loop up. So you can actually just put REPLs as you're developing. Yeah.
I like that.
And you don't have to worry about Test Cloud catching it and like just stopping your test. Test Cloud will actually say, oh, this is a REPL. You probably left it in here on accident. And it'll skip it for you.
So it says app.boom. Let me say tree.
So no sessions found. So we probably want to wait for no sessions found.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Perfect. Like, does that label show up?
Yeah. So it's nice to wait for stuff rather than wait for no stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly. So that'll work. And then when we go to.
We're going to wait for element, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good catch. And then when we do Smith, we expect some.
So see, you're still interacting with the app, but you can still REPL it, move some stuff. So you can do like, I need to jump down later on.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Sometimes the amazing things aren't amazing to me anymore.
Yeah.
I work with it.
It's still happening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So you can interact with the app live as you're writing a test. So
that's cool.
You never have to stop. So let's see. We should see something called create stunning. Cool.
Perfect.
So we'll just copy this whole thing.
So this is good because you're like, hey, I want to make sure that that Anya is actually presenting this. So when I search for Smith, this result actually comes back.
Right.
And you can do multiples of those. But you said that you could still use other things like assert. You could query. I saw in the query that you were just getting everything back, but I'm assuming that you could query like for that and it would return that
right.
element, right?
Right.
That's nice. So that to me is what's interesting is that even though I have no asserts here, there's really a whole bunch of asserts happening.
It's all there.
Yeah. Right, cool.
All right.
So now we can run this. I like this. We're just on the fly creating tests,
I
right?
Know. No pressure, right?
No pressure at all. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so this is, now we actually have some assertion, like more defined assertions. So we actually expect stuff. Like, it's not just going to run tests, it's actually going to, like, test tests. Yeah, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I like that. But this is so cool because now you and I can just talk and this whole thing just, like, runs and we don't have to worry about it. And it passed and now it's running Smith and then
and
boom.
And you see this green little check mark right there. So
Amazing.
It actually checked that we didn't have any results for you and we checked that there were results for Anya Smith.
Like yeah. that. And this right here, so this is using UI tests. You're just pointing to an APK, running on simulator. You can maybe run on a device, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all free.
It's all free.
That's free.
Yeah.
You've been saying Test Cloud a lot. What's this Test Cloud
Oh,
thing?
Yeah.
I know what Test Cloud is, but what? Tell the world of this Test Cloud because now we're getting into the non-free stuff.
Right, right. So Test Cloud is a physical device lab.
Okay.
I think we have... Actually, don't quote me on this. We have like almost 2,000 devices, physical devices, not emulators.
Okay, so real devices.
Real devices. They're not jailbroken. And we have like all sorts of OS versions on
okay.
them. So we have like API. I think the oldest one is like 2.4.
Yeah.
And then all the way up to like 7 for Android. And we have iOS 6 all the way up to the latest.
Okay.
Even.
I think iOS 10 just came out.
Yeah.
So we have that in there. Yeah. So. Essentially, it's like I could go buy a bunch of devices and run all these tests back.
Right.
That gets really expensive because iPhones are $600-$700. Android phones, like, can you even find them? Like, Samsung has 1,000 variants
right.
of it. I think, do we have a web page with all the devices on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we do. Let me, let's see.
So people would normally go to
Xamarin Test Cloud Devices, I believe.
Let's see.
Devices.
Google it and it shows up for sure. There we go. Boom.
2,467. I underestimated.
So we have nearly 2,500 unique devices.
All sorts of OS versions, phones and tablets, all sorts of stuff here.
That's
the
amazing.
The list just goes on and on.
So you can tap on, so these are real devices. You can tap on one. You can see what version it's running, all the dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So can you then take this application and run it?
Exactly. So the idea is, you know, you write a test, you can test it locally, and instead of going to your coworker and being like, hey, can I borrow that one test device
yeah.
and let's share that, you just say, let's just throw it on the cloud.
That makes sense.
And then you don't have to worry about it.
Awesome.
And so this is Test Cloud. So we have here a sample test that you've written, I think, a while ago
mm-hmm.
For this exact same app. And here are the results.
So you tapped it back out. Now this was in CI, which was nice. So in Visual Studio Team Services, and we also had it in Bitrise, we had a few different CI services.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did for the app is with every build, every commit, we actually sent it up.
Right.
So we ran the unit tests, we packaged it up, put it to Hockey app, but also put it on the test cloud, and then got these results back. So looks like we selected 21 Android devices. We actually got a failure here on one of them. But this is kind of, looks really nice, like happy hour, sponsor check, navigate to event. So those are the names of the tests, right?
Right, right. So this, like app launches, that's what would, the app launches that we wrote over here.
That's what would show up.
That's what would show up over there
okay.
on the side. And we can actually go through all of these test runs. And you can see the screenshot side by side
yeah.
on all the devices, so that's nice. And you can see like pixel perfect stuff here too, so full size.
Oh, very cool. So that's the full
yeah, for
full
all those,
thing, wow.
If when you're working on and designing your app, you can see in high res everything.
And this
here.
Is nice because you can actually see that. It looks like I had a little UI issue, right? Because you can see like double
yeah.
overlapping things going on there. So that's actually cool. So sometimes it's about the... Not about, like, did the test fail?
Right.
It's
sometimes
the visual.
It's just about visually, like, making something that pleases everybody, right?
Yeah.
And you can see memory usage, CPU usage of the device as you're stepping through as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have an error here somewhere. You can see this little red thing.
Real red.
Red is bad, right?
Yeah, red's bad.
And
on this Samsung device, it looks
so
like.
So you can see the test failure. It tells you where in the test it failed. But what's more helpful is the stack trace here. And it looks like it was unable to find. Was that helpful? Recharged. Did you?
Yeah, I remember this one. This was actually a weird timing bug that actually only crashed on some Samsung devices, specifically in certain instances. But I actually remember this test. This was way back, and it's had some bad logic that had some issues with fragment inflation. Yeah. And I remember talking to the.
So would you say it helped?
It did help. It helped me diagnose it. It was good. I remember when we launched the app. We were getting all these reports back, but only on these Samsung devices.
And you're like, what's going on?
I was going on, so I literally put the test and just said, run it on the Samsung devices. Can I validate this? Is it an issue, right?
Right.
Sure, you get reports back, but let me validate it and then get the stack trace. Because when you're getting a crash, you may get those reports back in Hockey app, but you also want to get, like, where in the test? What are the repro steps? So this actually helped out quite a bit. Very cool.
Yeah, and if you wanted some more details, you could, like, hit device log, which will give you
everything. Yeah, whoa.
It's more info than you need. Stack trace is much
pretty,
more.
Nice, pretty.
Yeah.
Very cool. So Test Cloud, there's like subscriptions that you get, because these are real physical devices that you're getting. Mm-hmm. But up to that, you could run on your own simulator, device, things like that.
Yeah.
Cool. And now we have our tests. We could put it in the Test Cloud. You can do it via
the IDE or the command line. So there's a couple ways to do it. With the IDE, nice and simple, you can just do right-click on the test that you double-clicked earlier.
Okay.
And we have this little option called Run in Test Cloud.
Oh, cool.
And you can do this on, again, Visual Studios as well.
Yep.
We'll just browse for...
It says, hey, where's the APK?
Right, so it's just asking for the application in question.
Okay.
We'll do that one, which is the one we're working on. And we just click Upload and Run.
Well, cool.
And then from here, it just packages up your tests and it packages up your APK, and then it'll open up the web browser if we give it a second, and it'll let you pick your devices.
And this essentially is nice, I'm assuming, when you want to just test. Like, I created a new test before I run it on 1,000 devices.
Right, so this is a nice, quick, and dirty way to just get your tests on Test Cloud to see that everything you worked on made sense.
Made sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But ideally, like what you were doing earlier, you do CI, right?
Yeah.
So you get this running every night, all the time, without you even thinking about it. And then if there's any issues, you come into work the next day and be like, oh, I got to fix this.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's nice. I like that. So we're going to do some uploading here, like that. We're on our super fast Microsoft internet here. "Quote unquote fast" on CorpNet, just probably always
pretty
fun.
It's pretty fast.
It's not bad. So there you go. We uploaded some more stuff. It's nice. It like at least tells you what's going on.
Right.
Boom. Opens this page,
and then from here you can choose which team and stuff. I'll just load up my personal one. And so we have a bunch of different sort by stuff. This estimated wait time. So the more devices we have, the more likely you are to get it faster.
Yeah.
So you can, this will be pretty quick. But we also have like availability, market share. So this is global market share, name, and then of course, manufacturer.
You can get real finite on that.
Yeah, you can do it. There's a lot of stuff you could filter by.
Is it octa-core?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just do these three though.
Okay.
That seems pretty reasonable. You can even see like, hey, look, we have 8 of these and 17 of those.
Very cool.
And this is just some
additional
filter stuff you can use. Cool. And
then it sends it.
Then it sends it.
Yeah.
Nope, there you go.
Cool. It takes you right into the task, and that's going to run.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yep. And then if there's a another way to submit, you click over here in the top right-hand corner under New Test Run.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Since I've already submitted it, it knows, was this the one you wanted to test?
Gotcha.
And you can do the same thing here. And then you can use this. You would drop this in the command line, and this is really helpful for CI stuff.
Perfect.
It's a little bit more complicated, but it's a lot more powerful.
But it's there.
Yeah.
It gives you all the stuff you need.
It's a lot more powerful. You can actually initiate video recording as well.
Oh, cool.
So you can actually see the app running the test.
I like that.
Yeah, instead of screenshots.
Very cool. Well, this is going to play back, and we're assuming that we're going to see it there.
Yeah.
But there was one last thing that you were talking about is, you know, we've made this test, and was that how you recommend structuring
right.
the test
runs? Right. So there's a couple things I would recommend.
Tips and tricks
tips
from
and
Charlie.
Tips and tricks, yeah. So before every action, I would definitely have a wait for, so you can assert that, you know, the thing you want to interact with is there. Mm-hmm. And then you take a screenshot. So I do action, assertion, screenshot. Or depending, it kind of depends a little bit on how you're structuring stuff. So you can do action. Let's see, what am I thinking? Okay, so in this case, I might do something like.
So we have wait for element, app dot, wait for element. Okay.
And then we'll do.
So if we're waiting for it, so we're on the main home screen, okay.
Home screen. This makes the most sense in this case. It honestly depends on how your app works.
Sure.
But you definitely want to have an action, an assertion, and then a screenshot, just so everything you're doing is logged and it makes sense for you to look at later.
Perfect.
If you don't have those wait fors, your screenshots can sometimes be taken at random times and it'll look very confusing, especially if it fails. Then you're like,
gotcha.
Where and when did it fail?
That makes sense.
So in this case, as an initial step, we're just going to wait for the not now thing to appear, and then we're going to tap on the not now, wait for the OK, which I know is on the home screen. That's why we're doing that a different wait for it looks like. And then when that's all aligned, when all the devices on Test Cloud are matching, then we take a screenshot and we say what the state of that app is at the time.
That
and that's
sense.
On home screen.
That makes sense.
And so we would want to carry that out throughout the entire test.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Anything else you want to cover, Charlie, at all?
Would you be interested in page object?
So what's this? What's a page object?
So this right now is a procedural test. It's a very simple get started, write a test really quick. And there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of tests work really great like that. But if you end up with an app that's like 400 different screens.
Sure, it gets real complicated.
It gets real complicated real quickly.
You can imagine that you're probably tapping the same button, the same thing over and over again, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's kind of annoying. Yeah. So what we've created at Xamarin or Microsoft is page object programming.
Okay.
And what that really means is every time you change screens and it's something different, that's different than the screen before it, mm-hmm. we create a class object and we call that a page.
Yeah.
And so you save all the different methods on those pages as different actions of that page as methods, and it becomes really, really easy to write a test.
Okay, so you may have like login, you know, page dot, create a new page, like this is my login page.
Right.
You know, log in, hit not now.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
do you have an example of that?
Yeah, let me pull something up real quick. Demo test. It's almost like I was prepared or something. let's save this for now, in case we want to look back at it.
Cool.
So this is, page object.
It's a little bit more real world.
More resilient. So again, you can see this is the same test attribute that defines this cargo handling as a test, but instead of app dot blah 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 blah, you know it's a lot of stuff to read in a giant test. Instead, we go, hey, when you're on the sign-in page, sign in.
Yeah.
When you're on the main menu page, select procedures. When you're on this procedures page, select. And so now, if I wanted to just write another test, I could probably do this really quickly. Public. Ooh, spelling issues, guys. Yeah. Example.
You're like, hey, yeah. So this way, I'm not just like app.tap, app.tap. I'm like, hey, I know that the first page is my sign-in page, right?
Yep. And then I go, what can I do here? I can
go back or
sign in. And then I should be on the new menu page or main menu page. And then what can I do here? I can look at all these different things I could do. Let's select crew travel.
And this is stuff that you created, though. So like, what does select crew travel
So that would just go to the separate page that has all the crew travel information.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's because, like, let's say you go to the sign-in, right, and you navigate to that definition.
Yeah.
So it's because we've written these taps, right?
Right, so yeah. we wrote them in advance. So there's a little bit more overhead.
Sure, the structure.
Yeah, it's structuring.
Yeah.
But it looks a lot, it works a lot better. So you can see this sign-in page has a method called sign-in, mm-hmm. and that just lets you sign in. And so instead of writing this every time, so this is a simple page, but if we looked at, let's see, procedures page, I think is a little bit more complicated. So instead of doing all of this stuff every time,
yeah,
you just
do this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you update it. So if someone changes an attribute, you change it at one point.
Right. So we actually save those queries. You know how we were like app dot enter text search bar field.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that every time, we actually just save it as a field at the top. And then this works really well for in development apps.
Yeah.
Because your developers are probably changing stuff all the time. And
perfect.
instead of going through like 700 tests that all use the search bar field, you just go up here to the query and you say the search bar field is now search bar text or
I
something.
Like that. Yeah.
And you change it once and it'll just work for everything else.
Awesome. Cool. Well, yeah. Let's see if those tests are done at all while we've been talking. That'd be crazy if they were.
Let's check. Oh.
Two.
Two are done.
All right, cool. Tap on it. Generating report still.
Yeah.
So it's going to go, and it takes some time. This is why it's probably better to put it into some CI cycle
exactly.
or something like that.
Yeah.
But we can see that it already was generating a few steps, and then boom, you're good to go. Awesome. And we can probably share those results with everyone in the show notes.
Okay.
I think you can share them, right?
Yeah. I can make them public, and then everybody can see it.
Yeah. We'll put those in the show notes. So you can actually see those tests that Charlie
just wrote
real live there.
Give me a, don't be too hard on me. Don't be too critical, guys.
We'll see if there's any crashes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Charlie, thank you so much for coming on to the Xamarin Show. I really appreciate. This is awesome because sometimes just getting into like the reasons why do I need to do this? Why is it important? But how do I even get started?
Right.
It's awesome to see it all connect together. Awesome. Well, this has been the Xamarin Show, and I hope to see you again next week.
Bye.